true, we are made in his image. We share some characteristics, but he is not like us. Sure, we have some characteristics in common, but God's qualities are deeper, broader, higher, purer. God's love, God's goodness, God's justice are not on the wimpy, weak human level. He is not like us. A classic passage that expresses this is from Isaiah 55, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Theologians call this the transcendence of God. That is, he is above and separate from his creation, including us. The interesting thing about this passage is what comes just before this. This is the verse that comes before. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The context here seems to put together the forgiveness, the pardon of God, with the fact that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and he is not like us. And this brings us to our theme this morning, God's forgiveness. What exactly is forgiveness? What does it mean to forgive? My dictionary gives these definitions. One, to forgive means to give up resentment against or the desire to punish. It also means to give up all claim to punish or exact a penalty for an offense. And it means to cancel or remit a debt. Another word that's closely related to forgiveness is the word pardon. And that's the word that Isaiah uses. To pardon means to release a person from further punishment for a crime, or to cancel and not exact a penalty for an offense. Now, what is God's forgiveness like? First, God's forgiveness is complete. It's thorough. The Bible expresses the idea of God's forgiveness or his pardon in a number of different ways. And I'm going to quote just some texts from the Old Testament to help round out or fill out our understanding of what God's forgiveness is like. In Psalm 32, God's forgiveness is expressed as our transgressions are forgiven, our sins are covered, and our sins are not counted against us. In Psalm 51, when David pleads for God's forgiveness after his horrendous sin, he puts it this way. He asks God to blot out his transgressions and to wash away his iniquity and to cleanse him from the sin. And he asks God to hide his face from his sins. And in Psalm 85, it says, "You set aside all your wrath and you turn from your fierce anger." And in Psalm 103, one of the list of all these blessings, it says, "He forgives all our sins. He will not accuse us, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And in Isaiah 1:18, God issues an invitation to his people, and he says, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." And finally, in Micah 7, God's word says that he will tread our sins underfoot and he will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. God's forgiveness is complete. It's thorough. Here are the 20 things that he says. In just the Old Testament, our transgressions are forgiven. Our sins are covered. Our sins are not counted against us. He blots out our transgressions. He washes away our iniquity. He cleanses us from sin. He hides his face from our sins. He sets aside his wrath. He turns from his fierce anger. He forgives our sins. He doesn't always accuse nor harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he treads our sins underfoot, and he hurls our iniquities into the depths of the sea. God's forgiveness is complete. It's thorough. What happens to our sins? Let's write a couple down here. A lie. To cheat. To steal. To brag. What does God do with our sins? According to these scriptures, he blots them out. We would say something like this: he erases them. He obliterates them. He destroys them. He makes them disappear, because God's forgiveness is complete and thorough. When our two boys were in elementary school, I have Jeff's permission to say this. He gave it to me years ago, and I'm not aware of any expiration on the permission, so I'll risk it. When Greg and Jeff were in elementary school, at the bus stop, Jeff said some kind of vulgar expression to some girls. And we were at the supper table, and Greg, as older brothers are prone to do, said, "I'm going to tell." And I took Jeff aside. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I said something really bad." I said, "Well, tell me." He said, "I can't." I said, "Well, can you write it down on a piece of paper?" And he said, "Okay." So he wrote it down, and he gave me the piece of paper. And I looked at it. "Ooh, that is bad. Do you know what this means?" He goes, "No." I said, "Well, Jeff, this really is a sin, what you did. And it can be taken care of by admitting it, by confessing it." So he and I prayed together, and he confessed that he had said some bad things to these girls. And I said, "Jeff, I want to show you what God does with our sin." And so he and I went to the garage, where I got the piece of paper and a match. And I said, "Let me show you, Jeff, what becomes of your sin when you confess it." And we were there in the garage together, and we got to see this happen. Folks, look at what's left. Because when God forgives, it's thorough. It's complete. God's forgiveness is complete. And think of what Jesus did. While men were crucifying him, he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." If Jesus could forgive those who hated him and unjustly accused him and tortured him and mocked him and put him on a cross, don't you think he can forgive you? I think so. God's forgiveness is not just complete, but God's forgiveness is certain. It is sure. In the book of Hebrews, the writer expresses information. He talks about the new covenant that God has with believers. And he says an amazing thing. He says, God is speaking and says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Now, this is not a case of a weak memory. It's not a senior moment like some of us experience. It's not divine amnesia. God omniscient, who knows all things and who knows everything about each one of us, is not subject to forgetfulness. This is instead an act of his will, a choice. God commits himself never to recall or to ever bring up sins which he has forgiven. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God's forgiveness is certain. It's sure. In Spain, in 1998, Mario Gonzalez had to auction off his house to pay his Social Security debts. 12 years later, in 2010, he lodged a complaint against the newspaper and Google because that information about the auction of his house was still accessible through an online search. A Spanish court consulted the highest legal authority in the European Union in Luxembourg, and that legal authority concluded that a person should be entitled to demand that certain information be forgotten after a certain time. And this is being called the right to be forgotten. If there are a website called the Sin Spreadsheet, and you were to enter my name, you would read these words: sins have been forgiven. This folder is empty. And that applies to you as well. If you have taken Christ as your Savior and you are current on admitting your wrongdoings, your folder on the sin spreadsheet is empty. God's forgiveness is certain, it is sure, and he expresses it this way: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What do we have to do? Confess. Say it. Admit the sin. Name the wrongdoing. Lord, I lied to that person. Father, I wanted something that doesn't belong to me. Lord, I responded in anger. And the interesting thing about this verse is if you look at the first 5 words, that's our part. If we confess our sins, and the whole rest of the verse is God's part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive our sins and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. The forgiveness is not based on our activity nor on our feelings. It is based on the faithfulness and righteousness of God, and therefore it is certain. It is secure. In his autobiography, Chuck Yeager, who is a famous jet test pilot, writes this incident. He says, we had a 2-year-old baby sister, Doris Ann. Shortly before Christmas, when I was 4 and Roy, his brother, was 6, we were sitting on the floor in the family room playing with Dad's 12-gauge shotgun. Roy found some shells and loaded the gun. He accidentally fired and the baby was killed. For our little family, it was a time of terrible shock, loss, and suffering. I suppose some parents would have locked away any guns following such a tragedy, but Dad did not. Shortly after the funeral, he sat down with Roy and me. Boys, he said, I want to show you how to safely handle firearms. I'm sure Roy carried this heartbreak with him until his own early death. He and I never discussed it, nor did my parents. I will remember their sins no more, says God. His forgiveness is certain, it is sure. God's forgiveness is complete, God's forgiveness is certain, and God's forgiveness is cost-free to those who receive it, but not to the provider, Jesus. Paul says these two things: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. And he says Christ died for our sins. In him we have redemption. We are redeemed, bought back, and we have the forgiveness of sins. And what do we have to do to have that? Nothing. It's in accordance with the riches of his grace. And one of my favorite definitions of grace is giving to the undeserving. Now, it's free to us when we receive it, but it was very costly for Jesus. And that's in that verse. It says, through his blood. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, Christ died for our sins. He paid. And for us, it's cost-free. But sometimes we're not willing to accept the free forgiveness of God. Has this ever happened to you? I feel so bad about what I've done. How could God ever forgive me? Or this: I don't feel anything. I feel no remorse. How could God forgive me? Or this: what can I do to be worthy of God's forgiveness? The answer is you don't have to feel anything, and you don't have to do anything except confess, because God's forgiveness is cost-free to us. In the 1950s, there was a song entitled He, and it was sung by Gennaro Vitaliano. You might know him as Jerry Vale. It's a very touching song. It's speaking of God. And there are some things that are very nice about it. I'll quote just a couple of lines. He can turn the tide or calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. And then it goes on. He can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told. And then the refrain is this: though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. Well, that's very sentimental. What bothers me is what is not said. God can say, I forgive, but not because it's a sentimental, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. He can say, I forgive, because Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the price. He took the consequence of that sin and offers the forgiveness cost-free to us. Jesus took the punishment that God's justice required. God's forgiveness is cost-free to us. But Jesus paid a horrendous price to provide it. God's forgiveness is complete. It's thorough. God's forgiveness is certain. It's sure. God's forgiveness is cost-free to us. And God's forgiveness... Oh, sorry. ...is for all. Can we get that, Ed? God's forgiveness is for all because everyone needs it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the interesting thing about those two verses, in Romans, it's like a conclusion to three chapters of discussion of sin where Paul expresses the guilt of the pagan man and the moral man and the Jew who has the law and doesn't keep it. And he says, he gathers it all together and he says, they've all sinned. They're all guilty. They all fall short of the glory of God. We're all under condemnation. We all deserve punishment. Pagan, moral, and Jew. These are people who do not have eternal life and forgiveness yet. And Paul groups them together and says, they have all sinned. And in 1 John, he's speaking to believers. And he says, if we as believers in Jesus claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. To become a Christian, a genuine Christian, we start by admitting our sins, our shortcomings. We admit them to God, and then we take the gift offered by Jesus. We take the forgiveness and the eternal life that he offers by faith. We put our trust in him as our Savior, as our rescuer. And it's based on the price he paid at the cross. We know how we should live, but sometimes we just can't do it. And other times we don't want to do it. And often we do good things for a selfish reason. And God calls that sin. And he does not intend to contaminate heaven with people whose sins have not been dealt with. So Jesus was sent from God to take the consequences of our sin. He died on the cross in our place. He suffered the penalty that our sin deserves. And God now offers his forgiveness to everyone who will admit their guilt and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I did this when I was 13 years old, but I soon found out that I continued to sin. And I needed forgiveness to restore my fellowship with God. I was still God's child. I still had the gift of eternal life. But the relationship was stressed. My fellowship was broken because of disobedience or willfulness or rebellion. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God's forgiveness is complete. God's forgiveness is certain. God's forgiveness is cost-free to us, and it is for everyone. Take it. Accept it. Samuel Davies wrote an interesting hymn in the 1800s called Great God of Wonders. I want to quote a little bit of that and conclude with these words. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike, and divine. But the fair glories of thy grace more godlike and unrivaled shine. In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for crimes of deepest dye, a pardon bought with Jesus' blood. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Or who has grace so rich and free? Please join me in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the incredible completeness of your forgiveness, of your pardon. Thank you that you have made provision for our failings and our willful rebellion. And thank you that there's a way to restore our fellowship with you through Jesus' sacrifice and confession. In Jesus' name, amen.